Amen and amen. When the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. I tell you, that's a good song. Because we want to be ready. Scott, I want you to turn the music up a little bit and turn me down a little bit. Because let me tell you, the struggles and things that we have in our life today are crazy. And give me just a minute, Scott, because you know I got to speak about 2 seconds. Well, maybe 10 or 15. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 8 through 10 says, "For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, what I'm going to sing today is that I can't even walk without holding his hand. And the thing is that we can't do anything without him and be successful, I'll say. Well, you say, well, Sammy, it starts out good. Well, it may, because the devil's going to fool you. But how good is it if you don't allow God in it? Today I want to sing for you, "I Can't Even Walk." It's something that is been very dear to my heart. I think we all have fallen and been in places that we needed that help to get up. He's right there for us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. Scott, you can go ahead with that music there, or I might start preaching. I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I would be only I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The I think that I'll make Jesus my own. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on him I'll call. I don't trust him. I'd be less than a man because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learn to stand because I can't even walk without you holding my But I want to say that it's such an honor to welcome our guest speaker, Noah Pennington, to us. And I want you to take a minute and look on your bulletin on the front of it. Alpha and Omega is the name of the group home that Noah has been a part of and does work for. And George didn't even put two and two together. But the Lord did, amen. He did not have this planned out. George didn't, but God did. Because Noah is here from Alpha and Omega. And it says, I am the Alpha and Omega. And Revelations 1:8. Brother Noah Pennington from North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Pink Hill, North Carolina. Noah, come forward, please. Technical difficulties.
There we go. Can y'all hear me all right? Yeah. Praise be to Jesus. I'm just so happy and blessed to be standing here before y'all this morning. You know, there's victory in Jesus. I tell you, I've experienced that myself, you know, because I walked in defeat for so long. I didn't think there was victory. You know, I was searching for victory in all the wrong places, and it looked like victory. It smelt like victory, but it wasn't. It was vanity. It was fake. That's the work of the enemy. You know, he looks good and he smells good and he tastes good, but it'll bite you in the butt. And I'm just so thankful I was brought out of that pit that I found myself in. And you know, I was raised in a good home. Parents were on fire for the Lord and pray and taught me how to pray and brought me to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night. It was just, you know, we're all born with sin. We have a sinful nature, and that's that flesh, you know, them desires, as me and my brother talked about this morning, self. We got to get self out of the way so God can get in the way. Amen. You know. And but, yeah, I was raised in a good home. Parents taught me good manners and showed me what was right and what was wrong and disciplined me. As I grew older, going to school, middle school, it kind of started, you know, wanting to fit in, you know, be like everybody else, you know, with the cigarettes and the drinking and the marijuana. And I thought it was cool, you know. Like I said, it looked good and it smelled good, but later on it got me. That sin, the wages of sin are death. And so I was in middle school and got caught up with the wrong crowd and carried on over to high school. I got my car and I was playing football. I was an outside linebacker and I loved it. I loved to hit and get down in the dirt and it was a good feeling. But I got hurt playing football and I hurt my back. So I started taking pain pills. And within like a month, I was addicted. I was waking up and I had to have them. It was like a physical addiction. And it just from there on, this was 10th grade. From there on out, it just grew every day. You know, the more you live in the sin will grow on you. If you keep sinning and you're not repenting and asking for forgiveness and you stay it'll consume you. And that's what sin done to me, and it consumed me. And sin will make you stupid. I did some pretty crazy things, you know, stuff I wasn't raised. I wasn't brought up to do, you know, stealing and lying and cheating. You know, the devil will put something in you to do his works, and that's how he uses drugs, alcohol, women, gambling, worldly things, you know. And it's so easy to get caught up in that stuff. That's why we have to be connected. We have to be in tune. We have to be in this word and in prayer to keep from getting caught up in that mess, because it's so easy to get caught up, but it's so hard to get out of it, you know. But through Jesus, we can overcome the things of the world. Amen. And so I was, started taking pain pills, it went from pain pills to cocaine to crack and later on heroin. And I got caught up in going into Walmarts and doing crazy mess, you know. Stuff that I wasn't taught to do that was wrong. Stuff I was rebelling. And one night I was with a so-called friend, you know, that people, anybody that leads you into sin or doesn't call you out for a cuss word or what you're doing wrong is not your friend. You know, they don't care about you. And that's why I'm so thankful to have people in my life. God will place people in your life. If you're trying to do the right thing and you're living for the Lord, he'll put people in your life to hold you accountable. Amen. And he's done that for me. But one night, I was going to pick up something. And I was in the hood, and there was about six guys out there. And they opened fire on my car. From me to Sammy, that's how far away I was. And 10 shots rang out that night. And the smell of gunpowder was so strong in the car, it took my breath. And a 45 bullet came from hitting me, 3 inches away from hitting me. And you know, that night, it kind of shook me. You know, I was like, what is going on? And I do believe in my heart that angels moved bullets for me that night. Amen. I strongly believe that. And, you know, my dad, he raised me. He taught me. He said, Noah, he said, every time you pray, he said, that's giving the angels in heaven fuel and energy to fight off the demons. And before every night, I had to say a little prayer. Even though I was living in sin, even though I was doing what I was doing, I had to say a little prayer. No matter how high or how drunk I was, I had to say that prayer before I could go to sleep. And for me to get caught up in the mess I got caught up in, I just don't understand. But that's just how it is sometimes, you know, when you get in the world and you're living for yourself, as I would say, that's what I was doing. I was feeding a selfish desire. And today I have a new motive, a new ambition. And that's to serve God. And I tell you, I don't come encounter with death anymore. It's nothing but life. Through Jesus is life. And it's fulfilling, man. It's this void I had in my heart is gone now.
Yeah, right.
Jesus has filled it full. You know, all who thirst and hunger will be filled. And I am that indeed. And I give all the honor, glory, and praise to God. And so I went. After the shooting, I went to Alpha and Omega because it just, things were going so bad, and it was getting worse. You know, the more I tried, the worse it got. I had to come to realize I had to get on my knees and cry out because I tried to do it through doctors, through medication, Suboxone, counseling, the things that the world will offer, you know, that says it works, but it doesn't. You know, as my brother said, Sammy, last night, I know a man who can.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ. He can. He can do it all.
Amen.
You know, he's the top physician. That's, you know, right. If you have any pain, if you have anything you're dealing with, you take it to the Lord. And what I mean by taking it to the Lord is getting in this word, getting down on your knees.
Right.
All who kneel will walk away healed.
Amen.
And there's truth in that. It's you got to give up something to have something. And I had to give my life up to have life. So I went through Alpha and Omega the first time, and this is my second time. And the first time, you know, I wasn't serious. I was doing it for the wrong reason. Actually, this lady that was in my life at the time said that, you know, if you don't get clean, I'm going to break up with you. So, and that was after the shooting and the drugging. And so really, I knew I had to make a change. God was working on me. You know, I might have not been serious this first time around, but what I'm about to get into is when he really got my attention. So I went through Alpha and Omega, and there was a bad crowd there, you know, guys cutting up, running around, not taking anything serious. And so I went through, and it says in the Word, it says, better to know than not to know and turn from my ways. Well, I come to know Jesus that first time. And I knew of him, but I wasn't living for him. I didn't have that. You got to have a personal relationship. You got to be connected. You got to talk to him daily. So I come to know what he was capable of that first 2 months. And, you know, I was so ready to get out of there, you know, get back home. And so I left out. This was 3 years ago. So I left out. I stayed in church. I read the word little by little, and I was fine. You know, I was doing good. I stopped going to church on Wednesday night. And then eventually I stopped going on Sunday nights. I got out of the Word. I started hanging out with guys I went to school with that they didn't do drugs, but they drank a little bit. So I thought I could have a little bit of fun, you know. But no, sir. I was out. It lasted for a couple months. I was going out on the weekends drinking. And somebody come to me with some pills, and I ended up taking them. And one thing led to another, and I was right back in the ditch I got brought out of. And this time around, God really, because in the Word it says it's seven times worse. If you come to know the Lord and you stray from him, those demons will come back on you seven times. And so it didn't last long for me this time. I got pulled over one night with a bunch of heroin on me. And they got me with trafficking heroin, attempted to distribute. And that's the first time. I always told myself, you know, I'll never go to jail. I'll never go to the hospital. I'll never see nobody die. I'll never this, I'll never that. But sin will take you down roads that you didn't think you would go down. So just to be cleansed from that, you know, through the cross is good. But I went to jail. And man, the day I went to jail, I wasn't even a mile up the road from my house, and the sheriff called my dad, and for me being in the back of that cop car handcuffed and looking at my dad's face, that disappointment and that his son was being locked up was a very hurtful feeling. That right there, it put something on me. But to see that, and you know, I thought he was thinking, and I was thinking that was going to be it. But I went to jail and got out and went right back to doing the same thing. And again, I don't have Jesus in my life. I you can't do it without Jesus. I tried. I tried all my life. The more you try, the worse it's going to get without God. So I got out of jail, and then I went right back to doing. I actually met somebody in jail. The devil, man, he is slick, isn't he? Golly, I'll tell you what, that man right there, he's smart. You got to be on guard or he'll take you out of here. So he sent somebody my way in jail, and I hooked up with him, and we was talking about it before we even got out of jail, you know. And this is just me saying that jail or none of this stuff don't work. Jail, doctors, rehabs, you name it, that mess don't work.
Exactly.
Jesus is the only way. I cannot express that enough. So I got out of, we got out of jail, and we went to doing our thing, and I ended up doing something to my arm. I was using a needle when I done my drugs, and um, and I got an infection in my arm, and my arm blew up to about like that right there, and a big old pus, and it was a mess. But so I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. About almost lost my arm, but by the grace of God, you know, I'm standing here. I had a blood clot and a bunch of mess, and you know, that right there, that I got out of the hospital and I was right back doing the same old thing. And mom and dad was just shaking their head like, Noah, this is God. He's trying to wake you up here. And I just wasn't willing. I wasn't willing to receive. You know, I wasn't broken enough. I wasn't to the bottom of my road. And that's what it takes, brother, is to get to the bottom, to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to come to a point in your life, and I'm so thankful for all this stuff I'm telling you. I'm so thankful that it happened to me, because if it didn't, I wouldn't be serving God like I am. So I got out of the hospital, and I was right back doing my same old thing, and then another couple months went by, and I was spending a lot of time at a friend, I say friend, accomplice, you know, because... we got A, and that's what Bo preaches a lot on, is keep your circle tight. You got there's only just a couple, maybe not even that I share stuff with or talk to, because I've had a bunch of people come in my life that I thought, hey, I could tell them this, I could, you know, do this and do that with them, and it don't work. So that's another little piece of advice: keep your circle tight. But so I got out of the hospital, and then I went. I was hanging out with this guy. I was going to his house every day. He became really close to me. He said, Noah, you're the only man out here that I can trust, that I feel like I'm comfortable around, that I can count on you for anything. And, you know, he really made me feel like I was a better man than what I thought I was, you know. So we got real close, and one night he was in the bathroom, and the guy was there that was selling the drugs was there in the house. And before I got some, I was wanting to know if they were any good. So I was waiting on him, my friend, to do his drugs. And so I walked in the bathroom, and he done them. And he said, yeah, everything's fine. So I turned around and went to get some. And not even 4 minutes later, I walked back in there to do mine. And he was laid out in the floor with his face black and his blue and his lips blue, and all I could say was, Scotty's gone. I could see it in his face that his soul had left his body. And you know, that right there is what brought me here, brought me to my knees right there. You know, that's deep right there, to see somebody die right before you. And that could have been me, you know, that could have been me, guys, but by the grace of God, that's all it is. By my parents praying for me, by my grandmother staying in prayer and standing in the gap. We have to stand in the gap for our loved ones. We have to stand in the gap for our family members. That is so important. We fall short of praying. We don't pray enough. There's so much power in prayer. But that right there brought me to my knees. I come to Alpha and Omega. After that, I had enough. I was like, man, something I'm doing ain't getting it done, you know. So I said, Dad, I'm ready. But I had to admit that I was powerless over my addiction. I can't overcome it without Jesus. So I said, yeah, I got to go. I got to do something different here. So I went to Alpha and Omega the second time. It's been about 14 months ago, last February, I came to Alpha and Omega, and it was just completely different. The atmosphere, the people there, they had just got rid of all the guys that were, you know, cutting up, and there was some guys there that were serious about changing, that were serious about serving the Lord, and that's what it takes. We have to be wholehearted or we're missing it. We're either all in or we're all out. We have to be 100%. It says in the word, you know, better to be hot than lukewarm. You know, it's better. We have to be on fire. We can't straddle the fence, is what I'm getting at. So I come to Alpha and Omega, and the guys all were seeking God. And that's what it takes, to put God first in our lives, at everything we do. And so when I first got there, there was like a little 4x4 shelter in the back with like a few rakes, a weed eater, a chainsaw, and some shovels, right? So, and then we didn't have nothing going on. All we done was just sit around there and mop them floors. We mopped the daggone paint off them floors, Sam. I tell you, but we mopped all day long in that facility. And mopped and cleaned. That's all we did, was clean up. There wasn't nothing else to do, really. It was the wintertime. And so about a week went by. I went through some really heavy withdrawals, being sick, staying up all night and throwing up. And, you know, I had enough. So I got together with some guys there this time, and they were seeking God, and I got hooked up with them, and God has really started moving on my life. I developed a fire for Him, and speaking at the food bank and praying for the people at the food bank, I just fell in love with it, man. It's just, God really opened my eyes this time. He said, Noah, you know, there's no life. There's no life in that mess that you was in. You said you got to do something different, and you got to go all out from me, because you tried to do it 50%, but it look where it got you. So He showed me and laid it on my heart that, hey, Noah, if you want to live right and you want to live and have life and be blessed, Noah, you got to give it your all, because He gave us His all, so we have to give us His all, our all. We started, and you know, this time around I was going home. Dad said that he needed help here and do this and do that. And then I got in touch with this guy in Germany about training these attack dogs, making lots of money. And so I told Patrick and all of them, I said, yeah, I'm going to Germany. I'm gonna go train guard dogs and attack dogs, you know. So this is how God works, though. About a week before I graduated, me and like three other guys had driver's license. And at Alpha and Omega, we do food bank and rest home ministries. And we're more outreach. We go outside the walls of the church and minister to the lost. And we have to have somebody that can drive to get us to different places. We go to CR and Rose Hill. It's just a lot of good things going on there. But anyway, so a week before I graduated, God spoke to me. And this is the first time He's ever really spoke to me. He said, Noah, He said, you're not prepared to face the things you're going to face. He said, I could use you the most here in this ministry. And I was like, man, my eyes just went wide open. I was like, wow, you know. So I went to Patrick. I told him my new plan, and he was happy, tickled, and loved it. So when I graduated, I was the only person with a driver's license. They kicked a couple of them out, and one of them left. So God has a way of doing things. If you stay obedient and listen to Him, those are where those blessings are. You know, if He tells you to do something, do it. Because I ran from Him for so long. He was trying to tell me and just couldn't get my attention, but He finally got my attention, and I'm so happy and thankful for it. So me and the guys, me, Adam Abbott, the guy that spoke at the Sensations, me and him, they already had the landscaping, Alpha and Omega home started, but the guys that they started it with didn't work out. Again, they weren't putting God first. But so me and Adam kind of started that back up, and by going on these jobs and telling people about God, and praying with them, a day's worth of work turned into a week's worth of work. It's like miraculous. I'm like, we couldn't figure it out. You know, it was like, we must be doing something right.
Was that for the talking, you know? or was that for the...
I don't know. Well, we got a little sales to us too, but no, but that's the business aspect. We started that. Then we got a couple other guys on board, and these guys are just on fire for the Lord at Alpha and Omega. They're so hungry for His word and to do His work. You know, the more you do for the Lord, the more the Lord is going to do for you. And I've witnessed that firsthand, and it's amazing. The sky's the limit when you put God first in your life. And so we all got together and we started going out doing the work and stuff. And now we got a we got 7 people on staff now. Started out with 2, ended up with 7, and maybe one more eventually. And we got a 40x40 thrift store building. We got a 30x40 shop with 6 or 7 lawnmowers, 3 chainsaws, weed eaters, rakes, shovels. I mean, it's just pressure washers, generators. God has just really poured out his blessings amongst Alpha and Omega, and that's through the guys. Because God a perfect God works through us in perfect vessels. But you have to be willing. You have to let him. Or he's a gentleman. He's not going to come in uninvited. Right. We have to let him in and let him do his works through us. As my brother Sammy was talking about this morning, letting our light shine. Sammy, we have to get out there and bring the gospel and plant. The word of God is the seed. We have to go out and plant seeds, and that's what I'm reaping a good harvest now, because I've been planting seeds, telling people about the Lord, telling people what he can do, because he can do it all. And so it's just been the things that are going on at Alpha and Omega. If you support that ministry, you will be planting a seed in fertile ground, because there is lives being changed at Alpha and Omega, and it's a good place. It's done works on me and a lot of other guys. But there's great leadership there. Pastor Bo and Patrick, they stand firm in their walk. They don't buckle. They don't veer from their word because of he said, she said. You know, they don't let that stuff faze them. So, you know, I thank God for the authority he's placed in my life. And it's helped me to become a leader. You know, they set a good example at setting a good example. And it's helped me tremendously. And, you know, it's just a pleasure to be here with you guys this morning and for me to get up here and share our testimony. That's how we're going to overcome, guys, is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Get out there and share. God, everybody in this room, God has done something in your life, because you're standing here. You're alive. You know, by his grace, we're alive. I know each and everybody in this room has been through something. And that something through our storm is where we get our strength. Through what the mess we go through on a daily basis, as long as we don't give up and we turn to God, through it all, it is well. And it's just, it's the best thing that's happened in my life. I'm so glad I didn't go home, man. If I would have went home, I wouldn't have had a job like I do. The job, you know, and where it's at is helping others. Is these new guys that come into the home is to show them there's a better way. There's a better life, you know, through Jesus Christ. There's to do the right things. And it's tough to do the right thing. But there's a good reward in doing the right things. Because, see, when we do the right things, that you know, you have to get out of the way to get out of the way to help others. I want to share a little scripture right here about helping others and loving others. Because that's where it's at. That's dying to self, brother. It's to go out of your way to care for one another, to aid somebody that's out of your way. And that's where, man, he's poured out his blessings on me and given me a heart for other people. It's just, I've got a bank account with money in it. I got a brand new car. I just moved into my new place yesterday. I've been getting everything fixed up. And I've never made a step like that in my life, never. I've never had a bank account. If I did, there wasn't no money in it, you know. You know, so I drained them. I was draining other people's accounts, you know. But I got my me and my dad talked, and we got my car and my name, so that way when I make my payments, I'll have credit. And you know, I give all the credit to God. It's nothing I've done, nothing. But I just want to share right here in 1 John. Chapter 4:12. I'm going to read a few verses and then skip down a chapter. It says, seeing God through love. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfect in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Obedience by faith. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And to have that love for my brothers, you know, I didn't, we can't love without the power of the Holy Spirit. And to be able to love someone else other than myself is where it's at. And I'm just so grateful and thankful to be standing here alive, you know, because God saved me. He pulled me out of a pit. And I just want to share one more little testimony with you this time around at Alpha and Omega. And this is my last time because, you know, when you stay connected, you know, there's no turning back. When you get a hold of this right here, guys, this is the best thing you could ever ask for. This is the best thing you could ever have in your life. This right here is satisfying. Sin is not satisfying, but Jesus Christ is. And this right here is going to hold you together through them storms. This is our glue. Jesus is our glue. He will protect us. He will comfort us. He will give us peace and love and joy and self-control. And it's amazing, man. And I tell you what, you serve him and he will take you places. You will get somewhere in life. I had a man tell me, a couple months ago, he said, Noah, you just keep following Jesus. You're going to be a very successful man one day. And there's some truth in that. I've seen it within my dad and my parents. But I was wanting to share, I come through this time and we was outside playing. And in the rule book at Alpha and Omega, you can't take your shirt off. So me and the guys were playing basketball and it was a real hot day. And we was out there for about an hour, me and like five other guys. And I took my shirt off because I was getting hot. We was playing ball. And the guys was like, man, you better put your shirt back on. You know you can't have it. I was like, I don't care. I ain't worried about that, you know. And about not even like 15 minutes after or 10 minutes after I had my shirt off, a daggum swarm of wasps come out of nowhere. I mean to tell you, me and all them guys was out there. I was the only one that got hit. I got hit all over my body, and I ain't been stung by wasps since I was a little kid. So God has a way of getting you, disciplining you, and I can't say he got me with the rod that day, son. Hey, I know what that. I didn't take my shirt off no more. But God has a sense of humor. You know, that was God right there. And I shared with Sammy this morning. I woke up at about 7 o'clock this morning, about 6:30, to the birds singing. You know, that right there is what I've been missing my whole life. I never heard a bird sing. I never saw the bees and the butterflies and the beauty of God's creation. I was missing it all because that sin will blind you. It will put a shield over your eyes to where you can't, a cloud. It'll cloud your judgment. And, it'll send you down roads that you don't want to go down. And I went down one of those roads, but thank God I made it. Because by him, only by him, I made it. And I'm just thankful for y'all to have me. Thank y'all for letting me get up here and speak. And I just pray that this testimony will help somebody in this room. You know, that's what it's about. That's our main mission at Alpha and Omega, is to see the lost saved, is to go out and witness and help other people. And there's great things going on there. I advise you, encourage you to support that ministry. I know everybody that supports that ministry is prospering right now. And I'd like to share some more stuff with you, but time is running short. How much time we got, Sammy?
I don't know. I don't have no watch on.
One more thing. I don't know, man. Just God's done a bunch of things in my life. I like to share it all. We don't have all week. So But one more thing, my dad, David Hahn, I don't know, if, has he came out here before, Sammy? David Hahn? Okay, the beard, y'all might know him. But anyways, my dad had this car, and David Hahn was coming through the Alpha and Omega. He got his license and everything back, and he didn't have a way to go from A to B. So I talked to my dad. I said, "Dad, do you have a car maybe that you could bless this young man with? He's trying to do the work of the Lord, and he don't have a ride." And he was like, "Yeah, I do." He was like, "Okay, Dad." I was like, "Dad, God's gonna bless you sevenfold if you give this man the car." And he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna give it to him." So a couple days went by. My brother actually went through the Alpha and Omega too. Brandon, he was home at the time, and he come back. It was Friday, and he told me, he said, "Yeah, Joe was at the house, one of my dad's friends." He said, "Yeah, Joe was there, and they were talking about selling the car to him for $600. I was like, "No way." I was like, "To be sure, my dad isn't about to back out of this agreement, because that's not the kind of man my dad is." But, that's just the way the enemy works, you know. When he sees you trying to do the right thing and live for God, and he'll send stuff your way to test your faith, to build you up, and he'll try to take you out. There, as us Christians, I'm just going to say it, there's a target on our backs, but because the devil don't like us, the ones that's out there doing for the Lord. But that just shows me that this thing's real, brother. You know, when we're out there living for the Lord and I'm having struggles and attacks, that's okay. That's all right. But if I'm not getting attacked, something ain't right. I got to check myself. What am I not doing? So my dad, I called my dad. I said, "Dad, what's going on? You know, I thought you said you was going to give this man, you know, the car." I said, "Dad, you got to be obedient. God's already laid it on your heart to give this man the car." And he's like, "I know." He's like, "I know. I'm coming up there." He said, "I'm coming up there Sunday." So thankfully, my brother told me what was going on. He might have sold it, you know, because that money, something about money, it'll get you if you let it. But so he come up Sunday, and then on his way up, he had a flat tire in the trailer. So I had to go and help him change the tire on I-40. I was like, "Man, the enemy is real, I tell you. Golly, that darn devil." We was getting upset and mad too, but not, we let it, we knew, we was trusting in the Lord to get us through. But anyway, so he come up, and my dad, he's in the art business. He sells Thomas Kincaid, and about a few months ago, he sent some, he went to California and took some pictures out there that he couldn't sell. He's had them for about 10 or maybe 15 years. Nobody would buy them. Some original golf Arnold Palmers and stuff, and he took them to the guy and said, the guy said, "Well, I'll put them up, but I don't think they're going to sell." So anyway, so Sunday we changed the tire, we got the car to David Hahn, and he loved it. It runs good, everything's fine and dandy. And then Monday morning, my dad gets a check in the mail for $20,000. From that guy that sold them paintings. And my dad was praising God. He says, son, I'm so glad I didn't take that $600 for that car. So I tell you, God is good, man. You can't outgive him.
That's, you know, right.
You know, I need to give more. I feel like we can always do more. Amen. And I'm just trying to do more today than I did yesterday. And so thank y'all for having me. I appreciate y'all joining us this morning, and I'm here to tell you that God is real, and to go out there and seek him diligently, because he will bless you beyond measure, and it's awesome. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Don.
The devil is real. He will attack us and get us down when we least expect it. Let's turn in our hymnals to 571 as we have our invitation. Today, if there's something that's bothering you, if there's something that is...